Hello, friends. Pull up a chair, grab your carver today. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast, where we hit record on our IRL conversations as friends, trying to be adults, but also just trying to have a fucking good time. Today, I am joined by my host, Lucy.
Hello.
And my wonderful host, Sarah.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest, but I'm going to wait before introducing him and hand over to Lucy for our close friend of the week.
And that's me today. I have the pleasure of being a close friend of the week. our guest is raising his hand. I actually have a review. I have a review from Hannah, and the subject is 10 out of 5 stars, which is just lovely. She basically said, absolutely love this podcast every week. It's like my Friday treat to listen to as soon as it comes out. Feels like I'm having a chat debate with my best friends. Love that. And topics each week are relevant, interesting, and well chosen. Keep it up. Huge fan. And then there's a white love heart.
Yay.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
Love that.
Also, like, guys, I've just looked. We have 429 ratings on Apple Podcasts now, which is insane. And the rating is 4.9 average, which is just great.
I swear to God, Close Friends podcast listeners are elite. You heard it here first. Breaking news.
They are.
They're just the best.
They are.
And also, if you put Thanks, that one guys. Star, I am coming to your house to do some damage.
I've got your IP address, mate.
Today, we have got a very exciting episode coming up. We want to be discussing the much requested topic of red flags in relationships and in dating. And of course, as ever, we want to make sure that we try and incorporate a range of perspectives, which we haven't been great at doing recently. So today we thought, what better to do than to get someone in who can give us the male perspective? So I would very much like to welcome Fred Silcock, who is first and foremost, a city boy turned fitness entrepreneur and now god of all things fitness with a very active Instagram. We'll drop it at the end, so you have to listen to the whole episode before you get his details. But secondly, also a massive fan of the show and a huge supporter since day one. So welcome, Fred!
Yay, good Fred.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Thanks for the Insta plug as well.
Honestly, they've got to wait till the end to get it though. But it's our pleasure to have you here. We talk to you all the time about all the episodes anyway, and we just love your perspectives on the things we talk about.
Right, let's clear this up, right? A red flag. What is a red flag? For me, I don't know whether there's actually like a legitimate definition of this. It's probably maybe worth looking it up. But for me, a red flag is something that I see pop up in somebody that I'm dating that immediately tells me this person is not quite right for me. And some of them are like glaringly obvious, obviously, like, but some of them can be quite niche. And I think everybody has their unique niche ones. And it's not necessarily that they're a bad person. It can be that they're a bad person, but it can also be that they're just not compatible for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that summary. Very good. Like, it's just a, something that is subjective because, you know, that's where all of the, the way that people like to try and put things into boxes start happening, the love languages and all that type of stuff. Like, I think the most important thing is to just, you know, try not to be somebody else, because otherwise you're just going to end up regretting it a bit further down the line and with someone and started making loads of compromises around stuff that's not you, and just accepting that some things are more important to others than they are to you.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
But also, and people are, I think, being aware that a red flag, that I think this is really important because I've done it myself lots of times and I've seen it in other people, is being aware that a red flag for one person is not necessarily derived from the same place as another person. So whether that be something to do with texting, and if you're someone that texts back really quickly and you expect them to text back really quickly, or I had someone not that long ago, they said to me a massive red flag was that I had pictures of my ex-girlfriend on my Instagram. And I was like, well, that's, for me, that's just a bit, it might be an amber flag by your definitions. But I personally think I didn't have this savage breakup with that person. It was a very mutual breakup. It was fine. I didn't feel the need to delete loads of pictures off my Instagram. But I don't know what your girl's thoughts are on that. But she said that's a massive red flag. And I was just thinking, okay, cool. Where's this coming from for you? And it, for me, that's, again, it was more of an amber flag for me, because I was thinking, okay, is this coming from a place of, you know, has she built some sort of mistrust issues, or is she a bit insecure in that regard? And that's completely okay if they are. It's just delving a bit further into it and seeing, okay, is it something that's like really underlying issue, or is it something that's just, she's just interpreting different from someone else that she's had a bad experience with?
I find that really interesting. But I think whether that is a something, you know, whether it's a case of someone has a let go or not, is like completely dependent on how someone uses Instagram. If you use your Instagram like a shrine to your previous ex-girlfriend, and that's what you know, you're scrolling through pictures, then like, okay, yeah. But like most people, it's just documenting life as you go. And there just happens to be, you know, a history there. But then as you were saying that, you know, I don't really post pictures of my boyfriend or partners on my Instagram, and that's not because I hide them away, it's because I just don't use Instagram like that. So I don't know, it just depends on how you use Instagram.
I also think when you were saying that, I was thinking that I obviously know you really well, and I know exactly what happened with you and your ex, and you know, I've had that whole story. And actually, somebody saying that, I can understand when they would think that that's a red flag maybe for them, but it mm-hmm. is possible to make a judgment too quickly and to not actually get to know the person properly before deciding whether that's a red flag or not. But that kind of defeats the whole purpose of a red flag, doesn't it?
Oh, nah, this is such a complicated one, because if I'm scoping someone out, like I've just started dating them, or like I'm wondering if they are in the market for potential dating, and I have a look on their profile and they've got like, you know, still tons of pictures with their ex, I think the question for me is like, how recently is it? Because mm-hmm. like, it's not a red for me. You're right, Fred, it's super personal. For me, it's not a red flag. It's just a bit like, have you, this was only like a month ago, are you sure you've let go? Are you sure you're ready to be out here?
Maybe it's like a turn off. Like, it's not something that would like be like, oh my God, that's so hot, he's got pictures of his ex-girlfriend, and what a turn on.
Yeah.
It'd be more sort of just like, oh. But I think you, as long as we can kind of recognize that's a us thing. But yeah, I do agree, Sarah. You know, if it was like last fucking week and they're on Hinge and I've stalked them, then I'll probably be a bit like, sorry, is this a...
that wasn't the case, just FYI.
What would be a red flag? Like what Lucy said as well about the shrine, but also if it was like a month, so let's say it was recent and it's like, or it's not even that recent. It's like you've broken up, but you had a picture together and you're still like, and you post something like still besties or something, then I'm not going to lie, that probably is a little bit of a red flag for me. I'd be like, it's done, right? Like, I don't know.
You could look at it in the complete reverse, right? A sneaky fuck that actually is a bit kind of like seeing too many people at once, or hasn't really broken up with their girlfriend mm-hmm. or is still mm-hmm. not over their girlfriend, probably deletes everything immediately and tries to hide any potential thing that anyone could find about the ex, right? I don't know. It's a really interesting one.
Yeah. I think it's more of a, yeah, I think it could be more like we've just gone through that, we've clearly just made our point that it could just, you know, different people have different ways of dealing with things and stuff. Like the context for me was, it was a long time ago that the pictures and stuff were there, and then it was just they were just like, as things were going on in my life, like mine isn't a shrine, it has loads of fitness stuff on it. You know, there was just, when I was out in Singapore, obviously we had pictures and stuff in there, but it just wasn't really something that I felt was something I needed to swipe from my social media page. And then I think it was a good, but it's almost like a good acid test, because if someone has that much of a freak out about it, then I suppose it was probably a bullet dodged. And that sort of lands you on the thing of like, do you actually end up? I don't think I've ever ended up, or very many times, maybe in my early 20s, like on a date with someone with all these huge red flags going off. There's lots of stuff, obviously, like as you meet them and all of the stuff that's bespoke. But in terms of like the super generic stuff that would really, you know, put you off, I think hopefully by the time I'm on the date with them, I would have realized, and you know, that I'm not going to be on a date with someone that's completely the opposite to me. And I think values and things in common are different. And, you know, I think two of those things, you know, if you've got similar values or you've got similar things in common, you're always going to probably have a good date with them anyway. And then it's the other stuff, like the stuff we just went through that might bring up some, a bit more of a put off before you go out there.
Yeah. I do think there are some universal red flags though. Like for sure, if they only ever want to see you, I hate generalizing like this, but there are some universal red flags. If they only ever want to see you past 11 p.m., and they never take you anywhere. I mean, I'm sure there are cases where that works for people, but generally speaking, that's like a universal red flag. I'm speaking on the female side here.
Yeah.
Fred, I'm guessing you'd agree on the male side. That's probably
I've not had that before.
this is interesting though. So we know all the red flags, they're like universal red flags as girls, right? If somebody, if a guy says to us, all of my exes have been psychopaths, obviously he's a psychopath. If like, you know, they don't actually ever want to take us anywhere, or you get like to however many months in and they don't want you to meet any of their friends. If like, they're just, you know, there's loads, right? We all know these, but are there any universal red flags for guys in girls?
Yep. I think, when you said it, I thought immediately there are some ones that are super personal and then some ones that are generic. I think, I mean, you can tell me as I think of them, whether you think it's a generic one or you think it's more personal to me. So I think someone that is massively attracted to, like you've been on a few dates with them and then they're massively attracted to sort of drama and bitchiness. And when you're having those conversations, you're not talking about, you know, interesting topics or anything. It's mostly just revolving around drama that's going on in their life or their friend groups or whatever it is.
Okay. Oh, wait, you're going to go through a list and we can discuss them all. Yes. Love it. Let's dissect this one. Cause when you said drama and bitchiness, I immediately went on the defense. I was like, these are words that are used typically in the gaslighting context of women. It's like drama, psycho, bitchiness, you know, all these things that you shouldn't do if you want to impress a man. But then when you actually explained what you meant by that, I could not agree more. Like if I went on a date with anyone, man or woman, I'm actually bisexual, man, woman, any gender, and they started like, they didn't want to talk about ideas or concepts or the world or like things that I find interesting, and all they wanted to talk about was other people's lives. Like that's not the kind of person I am. I don't find that kind of discussion productive at all. And that would really, really switch me off. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. there's an allowance for some of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, I'm not one of those people that's like good vibes only, you know, positivity only. I think all emotions only, right? However, if I'm on a date and someone's just generally talking about other people at work that have pissed them off, you know, and that's the vibe. It's just like a shit vibe, isn't it? It's just not a good vibe.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. This extends to anybody that I speak to. It doesn't even matter if it's a romantic context. Like if that's mm-hmm. all you're going to talk about, we're not going to be even friends. We're not going to be anything done.
Yeah. Well, and we just talked about other people, and obviously that's the neg and that brings you down and stuff, but also just talking about themselves the whole time. And it's just the same thing. It could be drama about themselves, or it could just be them just being completely self-obsessed. Which you do sometimes, you know, sort of end in position. But sometimes that can just be because they're rambling, because they're, you know, a bit nervous or whatever. So, you know, allow it.
Yeah. And some people do, like, I also find when I'm on dates, I'm never that person that's just going to be talking the whole time and I just want to like say everything. If I had to pick one side, I am the more sort of like listener and responder. So I actually really love listening to people's anecdotes, funny stories. I love all that shit. So it's actually fine if like, it just depends. If you reply and you're trying to like have the conversation, they cut you off. That is a big red flag for me. But I do actually quite like really chatty men. I just love it.
No, mate, the difference is no questions.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No questions.
Yeah.
That is a red flag. That's got to be a bit of a universal red flag if like every time you see them, they don't ask you any questions about you.
Sometimes they can ask you one question just to make sure that they've asked you the question, but they don't follow up and they don't actually give a shit about what you have to say. And that's almost even worse.
Sometimes I think, like, just thinking of my friends that are actually examples of that. And they actually, sometimes I swear it's not them being, their mind's just gone to somewhere else. I don't know if it's like an IQ thing or what, but it's just, do you know when you've had it? And it no, but it's like sometimes when you're like, well, or just anyone. No, but sometimes if you're on either a date or when you're just out with your friends or whatever, and you just go off, I think it just links back to what you're saying there, Lucy, about your, you know, you might be a good listener, but then at the same time, if someone comes at you with a story, you know, you've got something to say back. It doesn't always have to be a question. It's just something to say back. And you just, you might have gone through a really passionate story, and like, I'm quite an expressive person, and then you get to the end of it and they sort of just move on to the net. They're like, oh, well, this pint's quite good, isn't it? And you're like, right, so that one fell on deaf ears, didn't it? Obviously, it wasn't as interesting for you as it was for me. So, yeah, I think that's quite funny.
Yeah. What's the next one, Dad? Yeah, we're all in. We all one. Say okay. That's tick. That's okay. A red flag.
Next one, generic, was I just think someone that's, and maybe this is a bit more personal, but it's someone that's super close-minded. So, I love for someone to have an opinion on things, because obviously that makes conversation interesting. And like, you know, I was saying before to you guys, like, you know, don't sit on the fence about stuff. You can have an opinion, but just be open to an understanding that there's more than one way to cut cake, and you don't always have to agree on things, but it's quite good to, I find it interesting to have that discussion. I mean, I think that's why we're all friends, because whenever we do have these conversations and talk about the stuff on your podcast and stuff, like sometimes it's playing devil's advocate, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's just you do have a different position. But it's quite nice to sometimes when you think you're potentially right about something, I'll just use their quotes by the way, guys, for people listening, that actually it's refreshing to be challenged on it. Like, I like to be challenged on it, absolutely, 100%. And I think that's another green flag on a date for me, is like, if someone's challenging your thoughts, it doesn't have to be met with pure aggression. Obviously, that's probably a bit more of a red flag. But at the same time, if they meet you with, you know, a fiery comeback to your point, then absolutely, that's great, because doesn't that make for an interesting discussion? So someone that's not open to that, like, is very close-minded and just won't accept it. And I'm just wondering whether I'm going to beat you to the punch here in terms of if it's the type of topic that you're, if you completely disagree on something, then absolutely fair enough. Like, you know, if it's a topic that, you know, they're bringing out and it's just completely morally wrong, then yeah, absolutely, Tara. I can see your face riling up and you're doing a conversation that you jumped in on.
I was about to get angry. No, I'm not. I'm actually not.
Go on then, guys.
But,
dissect
yeah.
it.
If somebody ever said to me, oh, you know, I don't think this is going to work because you're too kind of highly opinionated, I'd be like, fuck you. I'll take my highly opinionated ass right away from you, and I will never see you again, and you can get fucked.
Good point. Good point.
That's it. That's all I had to say.
Is that something you think other men see as a red flag as well, or do you think that's quite personal to you?
Maybe there's part of it that is personal to me, for sure, because I like to have those fiery conversations. They're good. I like someone to come back at me, but then also if it's like a one-way street, and I think, you know, given it the context, like Tara, absolutely correct in terms of if they're saying something that you're completely morally different on, hopefully my point before, if you wouldn't end up on a date with a person like that anyway, you would hopefully have eradicated that as a sort of prequel before you've ended up on the date. And then let's say you get past that point where you're obviously realizing that you're sort of like morally on a similar sort of standpoint. It's just more those interesting discussion points, like everything that you guys discuss on the podcast. They're all interesting. They're interesting points of discussion, and you can have an opinion on it. But I do think that sort of a lot of my friends anyway, in my friend group, that would, you know, probably the less passive ones anyway, that would probably wind them up a little bit. But again, everyone's different. So, you know, I appreciate that some people would happily just sit there and roll over.
Was that a sexual joke?
No, it wasn't. I knew you were going to turn it like that. No, you don't need to turn it like that. It wasn't an innuendo.
Just filthy.
Yeah. I'm sensing some tension
the heat
on this call.
In this room. What's that TikTok? That's like, the energy in this room has changed considerably.
Come on.
Two best friends in a Zoom. They might kiss.
What I was going to say, though, if we're going to be sensible, in reference to your point, Fred, is that I feel like I've literally dated someone, and again, we're going to talk about green flags at some point as well. But I've wanted, you know, when you really want something to work. I was in a space sort of like last year where I was like, you know what, I do want to meet someone. And I met someone who like really wanted a girlfriend. And we dated for like a few months, and it like, you know, it was great when it was great. But I definitely ignored red flags. And there were a couple of like proper red flags, and the rest was sort of just like, I don't know if we're actually completely compatible. But what do you guys think about, like, you know, ignoring red flags? Like when does an amber flag become a red flag? When do you decide, like, oh, actually, you know, do you have to like collect so many amber flags that it becomes a red flag? I don't know.
Yeah, yellow card off first. No, I think the way I've thought about this, and we've talked about it on the pod before in the context of Tara's previous relationships being a red flag minefield, like that fucking game you used to play on, is it Minesweep or something? Like you'd play it on Windows XP. Anyway, red flag minefield, you know what I'm talking about. But like the way I think about it now is if I was hearing a friend telling me this about this flag, would I classify it as a red flag, right? So at the time, Tara, when you were in your, I was going to say problematic relationship, I think that's a bit strong, but when you were in that relationship that you were telling me these things, we spoke about them before, but like a really good example of that is he unfollowed you on Instagram, which I think probably was a bit of a red flag for you at the time, but you certainly saw it as kind of an amber slash just little marker, if anything. But as a friend hearing that, I'm like, that is a bit of a red flag. So now I try and think of, when I'm dating someone, I try and think of it as like, if a friend was telling me this, when I'm not, you know, I don't make excuses for them, I'm not emotionally invested in the same way, what would I actually say? So that's how I think about it. What do you think? What kind of flag was it for you at the time?
I love that. The thing is, I wasn't looking. And I think that what I want to say about this is that the way to handle this is to be aware and to actually understand what people are saying to you and how they're behaving around you, and talk about it and think about it and like talk to your friends about it. And, you know, not just kind of put up this like, oh, it's okay because he likes me kind of thing, which a lot of girls do when they find a guy that likes them. And that is literally how people manipulate you. Like, make sure that you're vigilant and you're aware. And I think actually something, Lucy, that you said on the podcast like the other week is the way to kind of almost safeguard yourself against these things is to date multiple people at the same time in an early stage. Because if you do that, then you'll never get like just obsessed with some average.
Yes!
You know, you've always got something to benchmark against, and someone will come out top.
Yes. I just have to build on this because this is so relevant right now. Because we've just had on Love Island, okay, if anyone watches it.
Sarah's now addicted following the Love Island episode that we did.
Tara has left the chat.
I'm unemployed now, so all I do is sit and watch Love Island all the time when I should be doing useful things.
You're not. You have a job with me.
Shot yourself in the foot there, Sarah.
Not fully true.
I'm just going to close.
Okay, what I meant is I'm down from four jobs to three now, which is quite a big change for me. It's a 25% reduction.
That is essentially unemployed for you.
But the point is, we've just had Casa Amor, which is basically when they break up all the couples and they separate them for a few days and they inject a load of new people for them to couple up with. And basically all the men were not loyal. You know, even the ones who were coupled up with people back home, they were not loyal. And all the women were completely loyal until they were basically told otherwise, right? So what was really interesting about this, though, is that the women's value is based upon, can they find a life partner and can they settle down? Whereas the men's value is, how many people can I shag, right? And this was like the most elegant social experiment of looking at this, because what it means is...
Quite primitive people on there.
Genuinely though, like it is an interesting social experiment.
Maybe that is primal then, so yeah.
But it's like women are more willing to overlook these red flags because we are told that our goal is to settle down and find someone as quickly as possible. So we don't see men as replaceable. We see them as, we've got one that's perfect and he's amazing and I'm willing to overlook these things and compromise on these things. Whereas the blokes are seeing the women as, yeah, there's there's more out there. Like the one I've got is amazing. I do really like her, but there are other fish in the sea. And I think this really illustrates that point. And when it comes to red flags, like we do fucking compromise more than men. We do.
Fred, what do you think about this? Go on.
Tread carefully.
Don't tread carefully.
I won't. What do I think? I think it links into some of the stuff that we've talked about. I suppose I'm going to jump on the Love Island sort of quashing bandwagon there, because in my experience, when I'm chatting to other women, whether it be you guys or people on dates or whoever it is, I do think that maybe an amber flag for me, this is more personal, I suppose, but if someone is obsessed with the idea of the one and that sort of white picket fence life, that for me actually is a bit of a red flag, because I'm like, are you doing this for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. Or would you completely bend who you are? Would you bend who you are to basically, you know, please me, when, you know, I just want you to be who you are, and then we can work out if we're, you know, if it's a good go. And I just think whether that's, you know, friendships or whatever, but I do think obviously when you're talking to a potential partner, if you're not on the similar wavelength with that, and some people, they are completely suited to that, you know, that idea, and that will make them completely happy. I know, you know, lots of my friends, family, like that's built out for them, and that is what they want, and that's absolutely fine. But if it's someone that is just like honing in on that, and maybe there's some of that is socially conditioned in us and whatnot, and then the opposite potentially, well, definitely, I think it is installed in men, and that's, is it socially conditioned or is it something innate that's within us? You know, that's a topic for debate, but I do think, having met and chatted to lots of different people, you guys included, that often the people that are a bit more savvy about it know what they want. It doesn't necessarily have to be, and you work this out as you go through your life, I suppose, as well, but they often can question like that point, like have some sort of introspective to go, okay, actually, is this what I want? Where's this coming from? Or is it something that's been derived from years of social conditioning as we've grown up? So I don't know if that answers your question really, but I guess it's like challenging lots of different social concepts, and that on the show there, is that an example maybe of people that are just acting purely out of their natural urges and stuff that they've been socially conditioned to want and do? I think probably that is the case, but when you meet other people from other circles, I'm not trying to steer on the right line here, then you don't get that, and actually they do challenge it a bit more, and often it's people I feel with a bit more you know, who think about things a bit more, basically.
Yes. So just to also to conclude on what you mean about Love Island, the contestants of Love Island are not an accurate representation of the population.
Thank you. Thank you for summarizing that much better.
And I'm sad for that subsect of people who feel like that. I'm also really fucked off that that kind of shit gets shown on TV, which just adds to the 1,017,000 reasons I hate Love Island. But like, yeah, that's all I had to say, really. I'm sorry. That's it. Fuck everything.
That doesn't really detract away from the point. Like, the point is that it's an extreme, and the extremity of Love Island shows you, like, in its most raw form, the modern day stereotype of the male and female role in a heterosexual relationship, which is super fucking outdated. It, like, I love the fact that Love Island has actually exposed this, and I think it's like, It just shows how problematic these ideas are. I'm trying to like steer away from a Love Island tangent here and bring it back to red flags.
But from both sides.
Exactly,
from
Fred. Both sides, yes, completely agree.
You're
completely
absolutely
agree.
Right. Well, there's the issue that you guys have discussed lots of different times on there, and you guys always challenge the social norms, which is great. And then, you know, helping other people from, you know, maybe more conventional backgrounds understand that, you know, those feelings that might go against that are normal, and that's okay. And, you know, you should potentially explore those. If you are questioning things, and especially on the female side, and then I think on the other side is can we as men, we have to break away from what we've been taught potentially as we've grown up and been socially conditioned to think. And we, you know, you can take it all the way back to school, sex education, the way that we then go to uni and everything like that. Like, you know, I could go into my experience with all that, but it's just, you know, I didn't feel like I really grew up until, you know, or start growing up until mid-20s and all the experiences I had and, you know, having sort of four longer term relationships over the course of my life and learning a little bit more. But just being open to learning, I think, on that regard, and then seeing things from the other side and the other perspective. And then really ending up, and like we said before, ending up dating someone that hopefully shares similar values to you. Because I think that point I made before on things in common, you know, I've been out with someone that's had loads in common with me and it was amazing fun, but we just had completely different values. And that just never going to, I'd rather have similar values. And then you can go and do your own thing on stuff that you don't necessarily want to do together. And then you can come together on the other stuff. But if you have, I think, you know, I think Rena even talked about it on her episode, but just basically being like, there's quite a few things that are quite important to get right in terms of those early conversations when you're dating people. Because if you're not aligned on those, it doesn't matter if you love all of the same stuff, you know, if you want to come and train with me, go, you know, to raves or whatever it is, you know, go eating out all over the world, like love all of those things. But if we have very different opinions on relationship, kids, financials, etc., then that's never gonna work out. So that's my sort of stance on it, I guess.
I think off the back of that, I love all of that. And I also feel like the older I've got, the more I feel really empowered to say what I want from a situation, a relationship, whatever that is. And I think if you're listening to this and you're still maybe in that space where you're going on dates, but you're afraid to say, I want to get married, I want to have kids, or I don't want to have marriage, I don't want to have kids, I want to live in this place, I want to travel, I want to do this, these types of things. I think especially as like a heterosexual woman, you typically are kind of like shamed for being too upfront because it sounds like you're being possessive or too much or like a psycho. But I really want to say, like, in my experience, since saying I feel this way about marriage or I feel this way about kids or this way about my future, I am having like way better interactions with men. And I just feel empowered. I feel so empowered doing it. And anyone that feels like, oh my God, she was asking me my thoughts on marriage. Like, those things are important if you're looking for a partner. If you are looking for someone to be with, it's important those things align. I'm sick of women feeling like embarrassed to say what they want. It's so fucked up.
This is the thing, but it's because we're so, as women, we're so conditioned to be like, oh, but he has to like me. But and it's, I think rejection for both men and women is a problem, but it's a problem for different reasons. For men, it's ego, I think, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. For men, it's ego, and for women, it's shame. So it's like, for women, it's when you say that kind of thing and you're really, you know, definitive with what you want, and then the guy's like, oh, what the fuck? It's,
bunny boiler.
It's like, it's shameful. It's almost like, yeah. But for men, it's like, what the fuck? I'm amazing. Like, you know.
Fred's got his finger up.
I am completely agreeing with you in that regard. But I would say that, you know, you talked about big egos there. And it is the stereotype for the bloke to have the big ego and that's to be the one that's going to be have that dented or whatever it might be. And I love it if a person knows what they want and is upfront about it, because it goes back to that point at the beginning of, you know, you're just wasting time. You're literally wasting so much time if you go on that many dates and then you end up, and you can have fun along the way and stuff, don't get me wrong, but there will get to a point where you've got to have that sort of like conversations, and then, you know, you can either go, look, we had an amazing time, but we're just not aligned on this, and then you can move on, or you can see it as something else. It depends what your sort of views are on it. But I would say that it is also a red flag for me if there's like a massive ego on the other side that's stemming from insecurity, and it just in the same way that you view it in men. Like, I want the other person to have you know, be proud, be empowered, have their own thing going on, absolutely 100%, you know, have a little bit of an ego, but then at the same time, not so much that it means that you can't, you know, get through to them, or it can't be a two-way conversation. And that transfers over to so many other things, you know, that sort of, yeah, it just trickles through, doesn't it, to loads of little things, and that can ruin it. So I would say that's also a little bit of a two-way look at the big ego side of it.
Okay, Fred, we could talk about this forever, this one, but I want to hear the rest of your list. So what we're going to do now is we're going to stay quiet while you list them out and explain a few more. And then what we'll do is we'll decide which ones we want to dive into. Okay. Hit us. What else you got?
These are more personal. So I know that other people are attracted to this and it's definitely more of a love language thing, but like someone who's super, super materialistic, like that's not going to work for me. I'm not like that personally. I enjoy experiences and stuff. If you're on a dating app and you're scrolling down and it's literally only pictures of themselves and just thinking, okay, that's that sort of more self-obsessed thing I've shown them to Lucy before. It's quite funny. And it's ridiculous. Like everyone that comes up on the sort of like pushed profiles, it's just pictures of them. Okay. And then if you're on dates and they never, ever offer to pay, like, don't get me wrong, I'm with you on, I think, on the first date or whenever, or generally, like, it's quite nice to be offered and then you take it and then maybe they buy a round of drinks afterwards or something. And then lastly, more of a sexual one, I guess, if it's a one-way street, like, are they turned on by you being turned on, or is it just more like a one-way thing, or do they feel like you sort of owe them a favor? Or the other way around. So I think like that's a big thing for me. It's like it's going to be much more interesting and better if like you're turned on when they're turned on, and then you can obviously talk about that and work out, you know, what does it for each other, and then that can become a whole like exploration thing and can make the whole sex life so much better than it being you if you ever feel like, oh, this is a bit of a one-way street, and this can be from the man or the woman for sure. That can be quite tricky, I find.
You made me laugh when you were talking about your Hinge, Fred, because when you showed it to me, by the way, Fred literally had about 55 likes in his thing, like queued up, ready to like swipe through. And you did show me your people on your sort of like most compatible section. And it was really funny because you'd said this to me and all the pictures were, there were no friends or anyone in it. It was just like, just that person. And it was so funny because in my head, I thought you were exaggerating. And I was like, oh, he's just exaggerating. But you did show it me and I was like, oh, that is actually very interesting.
Wait, is this a fucking thing? If I see a guy's profile and it's like mostly just pictures of their friends, I'm like, which one are you? Which one?
Oh, I like a couple.
Oh no, you want to have a few on your own for sure. But then obviously to clarify which one is them for sure. But if there's only pictures, especially when they're like almost like professionally done photographs, you're like, come on, there's got to be some fun ones in there. Not really. Maybe they're all posy and maybe they're all on their own. Maybe they're just on their own.
Fred's just getting served models, basically.
Well,
so.
Well, actually, that's another thing. I don't feel that boys are editing as much as the girls. Like, that's a minefield to try and work out like what's been photoshopped and what hasn't.
Really?
Like, you can obviously tell when things haven't, but oh, I'll show you one time, Sarah. It's pretty, it's pretty dodgy territory sometimes. But you don't know. Like, I think, yeah, it was just, I do just think it's a bit of a red flag if they've only got pictures of themselves. Obviously, you want to show which one's you, but then if there's nothing fun in there, if you doing any of your fun activities or anything with any other people and friends, then, and it's just you, you know, in front of West End nightclubs or something like that. Like, you know, just on your own, it's just like, get me out of there now.
I straight up had no idea it's a red flag. Pretty sure I've been like red flagging people for ages then. So I'm pretty sure my profile was like just me for a long time. And now it's got Lucy and Tara in it because it's like, I actually run a podcast and that's it.
But it's different. It's different when it's just you, but it's you doing different stuff.
Yeah, I'm not like
just
other girls.
You in a mirror outside
that's
a
fair.
Club.
That's fair.
You know, because actually, if you think about it, that is showing personality, and that's not the kind of person that.
That's what the red flag is. So I just want to get to the bottom of this. The red flag is not. It's just pictures of you, because I personally don't think that's self-obsessed, and that's because I'm trying to defend myself, but also because I don't actually think it's self-obsessed. Like, I think
well, you're not self-obsessed at all, Sarah.
No, I just have
you're
a
not.
Podcast where
no.
I chat shit about my
Sarah's
life.
Sarah's having a breakdown
an hour a week, you know. It's nothing
existential.
Amber
crisis.
Flag. We'll remove it to an amber flag.
But what you're saying is like no showing of like your different sides and your personality, and it's literally just pick me on aesthetics, and I can see how that would be a complete turn off. So yeah, Thanks.
Yeah. Lucy, you know that's what I mean because I've showed them to you.
100%. I actually had a guy, I think I actually said this on the last podcast, who was like, who basically said like, I looked quite basic.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? Which what? I found really interesting. But I guess it's because, yeah, a little neg, yeah. I suppose that, actually that's probably what it was doing. But I just going back to the point about friends, I really, this is a non-sexual turn on. I love seeing pictures of guys with friends because I'm really attracted to guys that have loads of friends and they're really like social and loving and have great friendships. So I just love seeing the friends. And also like gives you a good idea like more about them. You see what their friends look like, what they're doing with their friends. I just love it. I just love, and I also love meeting guys' friends. I love like being in there with the crew.
This is just love it. Building upon.
Go on, Lucy.
Yeah. So I just, to give context to what's about to come, because I can see it in Lucy's eyes, this is coming. Lucy messaged us the other day, like, does it turn anyone else on when a guy has got a really organized photos app in his phone? And Tara, I'm pretty sure Tara was like, fuck yeah, go Lucy. And I was like, what are you two okay? I don't find anything about that sexually appealing.
I find that so attractive. How? When a guy doesn't have a load of fucking shit in his, like, because my images folder is like weird screenshots, all kinds of stuff. I just love it when guys, you know, do you know what it is as well? When you're on a date and they're telling a story and they can pull up the photo of that relates to the story straight away because they've got these neat little tidy albums of their trips. What? I love it. It's such a turn.
Fred, have you got an organized camera roll?
Very niche.
I know where everything is. I know where everything is for sure. But it's not, I haven't got them in folders, but I definitely know where everything is. And I love pulling up a story like and getting a picture up on my phone. I always, you know, love showing when I'm at Glastonbury with my family. That's always a good one. I always pull up that one. And then as you're going through, you're going, wow, I've gone to Ibiza way too many times. Things just come up. But it's always a story. Then you get distracted as you're going through it. And you're like, oh, by the way, here's another one. So yeah, I do love when people pull out pictures and albums and all that type of stuff. And they can show you some good stories. I think that's what you know, the age that we live in, and it's massive. I think it's such a good thing that we can do. Because having a visual that goes, you're like, oh, your parents went to Glastonbury, surely not. And then you see my dad and my mum, like, you know, just wearing what they were wearing and stuff. It was just brilliant. So yeah, I think it's great to have that. I don't know if it's a sexual turn on though. No. I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's non-sexual. So it's non-sexual in that like, it makes you like, it's not like, oh my God, I want, actually, yeah, I don't
it
know.
Is. Actually, it is. It is a sexual turn on.
It is. Tara, you said nice art on the wall.
Oh yeah, God, guys that have like art on the wall. Yes. God,
like these wings.
Okay, maybe not the wings. Let's just forget about the wings.
Fred has just tilted his camera to show us the horrendous angel wings art that is above his bed in some sort of brothel fashion. So thank you, Fred, for that.
Yeah, it's a brothel. That's what it's that's what it's reminding me of. It's literally like...
I have a really nice like handstand one on that wall, but no, it's not going to erase the fact I've got those big wings. But it was my fact. This is sad. It was my mum that was like, oh, you need to get something on there. Like, you should get these when she came to look at the flat. And I was like, that's who it was, a woman that advised me on those. But my sister looked at them and she said she was nearly sick in her mouth. So, yes. The overwhelming feedback has been not good.
red flag if they've got wings above their bed.
Yeah, red flag.
Saz, is one of yours really good at spreadsheets?
No, actually it's not. I find, do you know what? If we're going to talk about
that turns me off.
Yeah.
Turns me off because I'm like, if you actually wanted to do something really hardcore, you should be using Python. And I'm like, why are you here? You know, like I'm not going to be talking to you about data analysis. What does turn me on? I think I said this to you guys in response to this, is when they're good at stuff I'm not, which is probably why I'm like, don't care if you're good at spreadsheets, but when they're good at cooking or when they have music taste. Because obviously I have no music taste, so I love it when they can do things that I can't, but not, there's nothing really specific like the camera roll. That's, yeah.
Quite niche.
Well, I guess that's something that I don't do. Is that what it's rooted in then? Maybe is it rooted in those things that like, I just don't do this. For example, like spreadsheets and stuff. When you said that, like I was thinking that doesn't actually turn me on if a guy's like got a really
Fred's
nice,
good at them.
Well thought out financial spreadsheets. Hey, he is.
City boy, private equity over here.
I'm good at spreadsheets. I'm good at spreadsheets.
He could sort you out.
I wouldn't go that far, but I was doing market research for that. But I do love a spreadie. I do love being quite organised and stuff.
It loves a spreadie.
Spread.
You heard it here
spread
first.
Spread loves a spreadie.
Legs,
I don't know.
But your choices of things are so remedial. Like for me, it would be something like, you know, do they have their own things going on? Like, you know, do they want to go and, you know,
but yours are like
spreadsheets, organizing albums,
cooking.
What on earth? Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Yeah, it turns out that person was right about Lucy.
But isn't that funny? Maybe that's how low the bar is. You know, we're like, oh my God, I love a guy that can cook.
Is it time for the quick fire round?
It is.
Excited.
Excellent. Very excited. So, for anybody that hasn't been listening over the last few weeks, the quick fire round is where we have each prepared a question. It's a yes or no question. We're going to ask them, and everyone has 3 seconds to prepare and then just shout their yes or no at the same time as everyone else.
Right, I'll go first. So, this is my question. Have you ever intentionally ignored a red flag just because you wanted to continue sleeping with them rather than break it off? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Scenario, you are dating someone, seriously, you're going out, and you confirm you have sighted a red flag. Confirmed. So you know you have labelled it as a red flag by whatever means. Should you dump them? Yes or no? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yes.
You've definitely labelled it as a red flag. Yeah. I just think of that subjectively.
Yes or no, bitch.
What date are we on?
It's mate, you're going out, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever.
Yes. Oh, your boyfriend, girlfriend. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. 100%. If I was just thinking, if it was on the first date, I was just thinking, are you interpreting it, you know, potentially differently? But if you know them inside out and you've definitely got a red flag, then time to break.
Mm-hmm. Do you think some of your red flags are actually really irrational? 1, 2, 3.
No.
Yes. No.
Oh, now I want to change it because you've all said no.
No, you can't change it.
No, I said no.
Can I just say, but like there's a difference between an ick and a red flag, okay?
If you were on a date and you confirm that you definitely saw a red flag, and they're not talking about an amber flag, would you find a way to just walk out on the date early, or would you see it all the way through? So would you walk out on the date early? Yes or no? 3, 2, 1.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a really good question. Okay, let's go around. Lucy, you were first. What's the question?
So mine was, have you like willfully ignored red flags purely to continue sleeping with them? So I guess that could be either like boyfriend, girlfriend, or someone that you're sort of casually seeing. And you all said you have. Discuss, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, you look shell-shocked.
I just don't think I know what my red flags are.
Actually, do you know what? That's completely counterintuitive, the answer. Yeah. To the other one we gave. We all said we would leave. You all said that we would leave if you were in a relationship, but with a red flag. But
yeah.
If it goes and it was earlier on.
Yeah, but when you want to fuck, it doesn't matter. If you want to spend time with them, it does matter. Like, red flags can sometimes be a turn on. Is that bad? But like, do I want to spend time with them? No. Do I want to fuck them? Yeah. It's completely different.
Yeah, I feel a bit gross after it though.
Yep, so agreed.
So do you mean you guys would say yes if it was someone who you already knew, like it was a casual thing with someone who you already knew that, you know, wasn't going to be like a sort of long-term person in your life?
I thought the question was, have you ever? Yes, I have, Miss
Yeah,
Ma'am.
Have you ever? Yeah, sorry, have you ever? Yeah, sorry.
Would I do it again? I wouldn't, actually. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you still would, though.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not fucking true. Literally thinking 1 week ago.
See? Sorry. It always comes out on the quick
Let
fire round.
Let me just
round.
Dismount my high
the truth
horse.
Always comes Sorry. Out.
Yeah, get off there. I think if you know, one of the things that are more personal to you, like if someone was really materialistic, does that mean that you're going to have really bad sex with him?
Exactly.
No. So it could be that the sexual vibe is right up there and that person's super, you know, turning you on and everything like that. But then you just know it's not going to be a long-term thing. But as long as, I guess, you're on the same page with that other stuff, then, you know, why not?
So just short interlude, Tara's just had some technical difficulties and we're not actually sure if she's going to be able to come back for the rest of the podcast, but we're going to move on. We'll answer her question. I can't even remember what the question was. What was it? It was, do you have irrational red flags? That's what it was. So Tara basically said, are some of your red flags irrational? I said yes and you both said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I thought about mine. So I think we're all a product of our past experiences, mm-hmm. and I try to keep as much of an open mind as to what perception is. So am I perceiving something, and if I've got the introspection to look at that and go like, is this coming from a place of where, you know, it's something that I've experienced before with someone else, then hopefully I can take that step back. But and I don't think I would have been able to do that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but now I'd hope that I'm a bit better guided by that introspection, and then I'll stop myself and go, is that irrational or is it actually a pretty obvious thing? And I hope now, from the stuff that I listed before, I can safely say that those things anyway, I'm quite sure on.
Saz?
Well, you were about to make a really good point, Lucy, about like the ick. But I think this episode has been like super chatty and I feel like I haven't offered anything of any value so far. So one thing I do want to say is, I think there is a bit of a framework of how you can think about red flags in terms of like, for me, a red flag is something, it's a complete misalignment that you really can't look past. And even in the exceptions where you do want to look past it, it's an emotional process to work through with that person to decide if you want to work past it. Whereas everything below that is kind of just either a turn off or an ick or just a bit shitty or a bit of an amber flag or whatever. So with that in mind, I certainly wouldn't think any of my red flags are irrational. Like, they're kind of icky, turn offy things. But, you know, if someone came to me and they were like, feminism's not real, right? Like, the patriarchy doesn't exist. I'd be like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Would you walk out on that? Would you walk out on that one? Though? You said you wouldn't walk out.
Oh,
would you
yes.
walk out on that one?
Well,
come
actually,
on, you would.
Actually, the thing is, Fred, because if someone said that, I would actually be really interested to know like what,
yes.
why they said
yeah,
that, because that could be like a good chance
fair.
To be like, hang on a second, let me just dissect this with you. I think the reason I said yes is because I know that there are certain like the certain icky things, which I'm just like, that gives me the ick. And it, like, I know that that's just something within me.
Joe Rogan
like
podcast.
You said, Fred, like the product of Joe Rogan podcast. Or like, I don't know. Yeah, Joe Rogan podcast. That's like a very like...
Jordan Peterson.
I don't know how irrational that is though, because I think a lot of people feel that way.
It's not. That's a universal red flag.
Yeah. So yeah, I think like you said, like, there's a difference between red flag and ick. And yes, I guess if something is like a red flag where it's like a hard no, then obviously it's not like, you know, you've thought about it, like you said, Fred. But what was the next question? Was that yours, Fred? Or was that yours, Saz?
I just said, would you walk out on one if you noticed a really obvious red flag on a first date? And I think there's, you know, you just brought up the point immediately there. Like, sometimes they're actually intriguing and it is quite interesting to dissect it. But once you've dissected it and then you realize where it's come from, then it's a quick yes or no. Because that brings up the point of like what we said at the beginning of find out where it's come from, because it might be coming from a very different place to where you imagine. And we're all very hasty to be like, you know, fuck
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You know, you said that, but like get their perception on it, because it's only going to help you grow as a person and understand someone else.
Yeah.
But then obviously off the back of that, it's quite clear. Like, are they really misogynistic? And actually you need to get rid. And hopefully you've given yourself a get out and you've said, you know, I've got a birthday party to go to or something or whatever. You've just said something before you went on that date, especially on a first date, give the get out. And then if you need to take it, you can. So if anyone ends up on a date with me and I've said I've got a birthday afterwards.
Lucy's got a hen do.
Don't they know?
I've got a hen do.
Lucy's had about 18 hen do's.
Lucy has got a hen do. 4 hen do's.
Hen do's are my social life. They're also a personality trait at this point. It really is. I think for me, it's like, do I have the confidence to walk out on a date if I know that they've said something offensive or they've said something, or I'm just not enjoying it? Then absolutely yes now. But yeah, I like this round because it does draw out those like things that you've said that are conflicting. You know, I said that I would talk about something if I disagree with it, but then I'm also like, I would leave. It just depends on what they said.
I wouldn't leave. I wouldn't leave because... Yeah. I'm a people pleaser still, so I'd feel, unless it was really like something offensive they'd said, then I'd probably stick it out. But also, I agree with what Fred said in terms of I've actually been through a talking stage with someone who fundamentally disagreed on one of my like values as a feminist, as a person, and from the moment I knew that, I wrote it off as a long-term option. But does that mean that I don't want to still carry on having a really interesting discussion? Does that not mean I want to use this as an opportunity to like get a completely different perspective to what me and all my friends think? Like, absolutely, I want to do that still. It can be really interesting. Like, it's good. It's really good exposure to get like different points of view. But at the same time, you know, it's not going to work for me as a romantic option anymore. So I would stick out the date. I wouldn't walk out unless it was actually offensive to me.
What about one last one to finish on is someone I know had a really bad catfish. Like the person on the way to the date said like, oh, I'm sweating loads into my mask. And then like sent a picture and it was like, it could not have been the most polar opposite.
Oh, no.
Would you have still, like she's on the way there. So I'm only bringing this up because of what you said before, Saz, is would you still turn up? Because she did, because she was, didn't want to be shallow. But then at the same time, she felt like she'd just been completely tricked. So what would you do in that
such
scenario?
Such a good question.
I would stay.
Such a good question.
I really would stay.
Go on, Luke.
So here's the thing. Unless they were like actually a different person, like they use fake images, and I'd be like, okay, you've lied to me. But if you know that like
they did look like a different person.
It did.
It did.
Then I would be like, yes. I'm not going on a date with you. I'd be like, you're not the person I'm meeting. I'd be like, this is the person I'm meeting and that's not you. So, but if they've like change their appearance, you know, they just look different. You can still tell it is the same person, but like they've changed a lot. Then I wouldn't leave and say I'm leaving because you look different to your pictures. I just couldn't do it to someone. It would make me feel so bad. I would stay for like a couple of drinks and then say I've got a fucking birthday party or whatever.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah, just feels so. I wouldn't be like, oh my god, you're actually not as attractive as I thought it was. I couldn't.
No,
could you, Fred? What about you?
There's a difference between a different person and feeling you're different attractive. I think I'd find it really hard on the way there to go, I'm off, like I'm out. Like I think the person that I know, like they're very close to me, very similar to me, and I think I just feel like you can still go and have a good time with someone, and. We've talked about this loads of times. Like you can go, it doesn't have to be a date. Like you can go on, an experience with someone and you might come out great friends and actually, you know, there's other stuff that you want to hang out in another regard, or maybe you think, oh, this person's actually really well suited to this friend or something like that. Like I think because I've got that perception now of, and I always outline that I think on, you know, and it's genuine truth is that's what I want before I go out on a date is to have that relaxed pressure off. We're just two people meeting here and getting to know each other, and that makes everyone a little bit more themselves.
I love that.
I think because that's going to happen anyway. So if that's the preface before you go on it, then it doesn't really matter what they look like that much, does it?
What are your thoughts on people there being like, oh, but then you're like friend zoning the person you're meeting before you actually meet them?
What's my thoughts on friend zoning them? I think it's a good thing to do.
If you say to someone, oh, yeah, I agree. But I think a lot of people would be like, why would you say before a date you know, let's start as being friends. I think a lot of people might be like, you know, people that maybe haven't thought too much about it or experienced people that have done it before, they might be like, hang on a second, what? My date's saying they just want to be friends before we've met up. So, because I agree with you, I love that approach. But what would you say to someone that thinks like that?
I think this brings it back to the preferences and the values that you have. And I said that an amber flag for me would be someone that's just like so fixated on that white picket fence life and the one, etc. And that would probably be, and again, that's not wrong, but I think that would probably be something that would be telling me that before we've even got on the date. And if that is, that would be a great example of not ending up on a date with someone that basically you probably don't, you know, necessarily want to be spending too much time with, but not because they're, you know, in the wrong or anything, they're just not aligned. And you end up, I think that's probably my position on it, really, is that it's okay to have that conversation. Sometimes you, yeah. What do you think, Sarah?
No, so I swear, Fred, we've spoken about this, or like through the medium of either Lucy or Tara, we've spoken about this. Like, we both love the idea of low pressure dating where you go with like no expectations of finding a long-term romantic partner, because how the fuck are you going to know that after one Tinder conversation and maybe like one date? You're not going to know if they're long-term compatible for you. So I love the idea of friendship, starting out in the friendship terrain, because also if things go wrong, you could be like, you know, just friendly. I don't need to be like, hey, here's why I'm not coming back with you tonight. You know, it's like the expectations are set. But at the same time, what does bother me a little bit, devil's advocate, about what you're saying of someone who might come and be like, well, I'm looking to romantically date. Isn't that what we're here for? Is that, like, again, we are kind of all brought up with the idea of finding the one and the idea of like knowing pretty immediately there's a magical moment when you fall in love with someone. That just isn't really true. But I just think it's a bit unfair to expect everyone to be okay with starting out in a friendship-based dating environment, because it's just not what the norm is. It's not the dream you're sold. Honestly, we could talk about this forever. Thank you very much for coming on this.
Need to plug Fred's socials.
Yes. Thank you very much for coming on this roller coaster journey of an episode with us. We really appreciate it. It's been a bit more of a chatty one, hasn't it? But we've absolutely loved it. And we hope we've uncovered some different truths about red flags today. Fred, thank you so much. Do you want to give a little plug for your Instagram?
Firstly, thanks very much for having me on. Always listen to the poddy, and it's good to actually get on and discuss some of the stuff that we do when we're just having drinks. So if you want to follow me, it's Fred_Silcock_coaching. I don't know how many followers I'm gonna get from the podcast, but who knows.
Sexy northern voice.
If you want a bit of context, Tom and Ali, who came on the podcast, Tom didn't get any DM size, but because we told no one to, because he's betrothed. But Ali did get a couple of thirsty DM slides, didn't he?
Oh my God, he actually sent us, and it is a close friend listener, so if this is you, let us know, because you're a fucking legend. He sent us a screenshot of someone who'd messaged saying, Ali, your voice is incredible. It's got me frothing. That word.
Frothing. I love that.
And Ali sent that to us, and Lucy and I were like, we fucking love our listeners. Like, yes. So anyway.
Also, what a snake, because we're trying to set Sarah and Ali up.
Oh, yeah, true.
I'll fight you.
So. I'm joking. He's yours. Yeah. Look, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you so much, Fred. It's also goodbye from us. And you can follow us on our actual Instagram, which is @closefriendsthepodcast. Follow us on our personals as well, @LucyMountain. Don't know if you've heard with her. She's quite small. @MoveWithTara, same again. And @SarahBLondon, which everyone knows, obviously. Thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Sarah.
Nude reveal at 10k. Joking. Bye from us, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.